Here are the stories I'm hearing as we bring Tom Hauser in the conversation on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, that there were at least 20 speakers set up along the Twin Cities Marathon, Dave Harrigan, playing one song, the Hauser Man song.
I heard Alan Page was actually playing that on the tuba, too.
On the tuba, Alan Page was playing the Hauser Man. So, you know, we had the debate the other day, should people go and cheer? I mean, do you really enjoy it? But then I heard there was a rider in the agreement that Tom had put in there, and he said, I'm a big deal. That's what he said. He wrote to the Marathon Committee, first of all, I'm a big deal. He said, if you don't have 20 speakers set up playing the Hauser Man song, I'm done. I'm out of here. So, I mean, did they have as many speakers as you needed yesterday, Tom?
I'm not going to deny anything that you just said. Those were all true. Clearly, they didn't accede to any of my unreasonable demands.
Yeah,
so
all seemed fair.
I just had to run it with the music that was provided and not one Hauser Man rendition for 26.2 miles. Although, in my head, I could hear it.
Was this 36? Is that what I saw you either on Insta or tweeting yesterday?
Number 36 overall.
Wow.
And I think it was my 18th or 19th Twin Cities. I've kind of lost track of that. I've been running it so long, it was before they had all of the records digitized. So, but my first one was in 1988.
Okay. Did they have vehicles back then? Electricity? I'm just trying to.
Yeah, well, it was hard, you know, because sometimes they would make a stop when the horse and buggies would go through an intersection, so that would slow you down a little bit.
Yes, sure.
And Summit was a dirt road.
Yes.
So it would get if it was as windy as it was yesterday. Back then, you'd have to deal with the dust. So yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. How did this one feel compared to others?
Well, this was my slowest one ever, and I knew it would be because I've been battling a calf injury since, I think, August. I've been doing physical therapy, anything I can to get it back. My longest training run was I did 2 14-milers and 2 10-milers. Other than that, no other double-digit runs, so I knew it was going to be a struggle. But as you know, I was doing this. I was supposed to do it last year to honor my sister who passed away last year. And then they canceled, so I pulled that shirt out that we had special Mile for Maggie shirt. And I wore that yesterday, and it was – so I was determined to do it whether I was ready or not. So I set a modest goal, just do it under 5 hours, and I finished in 4 hours and 56 minutes. So my slowest one ever, but I was just as proud of this one as any of the others.
And somewhere Maggie is every bit as proud, right?
So that she helped me. She helped push me through to the finish, because when your longest training run is 14 miles, when you hit the 20-mile mark, you're in no man's land.
Yeah.
You don't. It's been a while since you've run that distance, and it catches up to you.
Let's go to Governor Tim Walz. I didn't see it live, but I did see Tim Walz's interview on Fox News with Shannon Bream, and I thought she, let me just start with her. I thought she was excellent. I thought she was on point. I thought she followed up. I thought she was very specific on abortion. I thought she was very specific on mistakes. I give the governor credit for finally sitting down for an interview or two. And unlike Kamala Harris, is going to very friendly sites today, this week, outside of 60 Minutes, which we'll get to. He's going to Fox News. So how do you think Governor Walz held up to the questioning from Fox News yesterday?
You know, I thought he did pretty well. But again, like many politicians, there were a lot of non-answers. She pressed him repeatedly on, can Israel do a preemptive or do a strike against Iran, including their nuclear facilities? And he wouldn't answer the question other than saying we stand with our allies. And she asked him repeatedly about that. She pressed him on the abortion issue. I don't think he ever came around to acknowledging that our law that he signed into law has no restrictions on abortion through the 9th month of pregnancy.
The wording has been changed.
Yes. And he would deflect and he wouldn't answer it, because he says, we want to go back to Roe versus Wade. And she pointed out, Well, the Minnesota law goes way beyond Roe versus Wade.
Which it does, right? I mean, yeah, there's no denying that.
Yeah, is that what you want for the nation? And then the other interesting thing is how he's very quick to criticize, like, say, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance on whether or not they want a national ban on abortion. Mm-hmm. There was a point in time, when Vance did say that that is something he could support. He no longer says that, and neither does Donald Trump. And so Governor Walz doesn't allow them to change their positions while ignoring the fact that Kamala Harris has changed her stance on positions on a multitude of things,
yes,
including fracking, which is a huge industry in Pennsylvania, which is a state both sides are desperate to win. And so she gets a pass for changing her positions. He's not willing to give a pass to Donald Trump or J.D. Vance for their position on abortion.
Yeah, I mean, the wording on the abortion law was changed, okay, and that was led by the trifecta. I will also say this. I don't think there's a single example in the state, and I know we've had some reporting that maybe it's up to 8 children, because at that point, they are children to me. I mean, at that point in the 9th trimester, they are where the abortion
did. Ninth month, you mean third trimester.
Third trimester. When you're at that point, you certainly are showing all sorts of cognitive ability in other areas where I think some people have tossed out the idea, Tom, that 8 babies initially may have survived the abortion. The question I have is, what else was going on? What kind of shape was the mother in? What kind of shape was the baby in? And I would also ask this. Does anybody really think in one of those cases, and yes, the wording has been changed, I won't back away from that at all, but does anybody believe in one of those cases where all of a sudden, Tom, the doctor just backed away and, well, I was intending to abort this fetus, child, however you want to label, and you know what, the child has now survived it, but I'm just going to sit back and watch the child die. Give me a break. That absolutely unequivocally does not happen.
Yeah, and while Minnesota's law does allow late-term abortions, you know, obviously through the 9th month, we also need to point out it is very, very rare.
Extraordinarily.
There are very few cases of that. But that doesn't change the fact that in Minnesota there are no restrictions through the 9th month. And you're going to have the other side argue, okay, one life that late is too many, or mm-hmm. 2 or 5,
right?
Even though it is very rare. So that was an interesting part of the interview. And then what I thought was really interesting, she waited till they had like 2 minutes left in the interview before they got to the multitude of misstatements
mm-hmm.
from Governor Walz about his DUI arrest many, many years ago, his military rank, his carrying weapons in war, whether he was in Tiananmen or in China or Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square thing. They waited till the very last couple of minutes for that. And I thought her question was good, because he always explains it away by saying, sometimes my grammar isn't the best.
Yeah, no.
Some of these things have nothing to do with grammar.
Zero.
There is some clumsy grammar, granted, but
sure,
that's not the reason why you're saying these things. You know,
the Tiananmen Square question came from me. I had totally forgotten about it until Andrew Kaczynski brought it up on K-File. And I don't know the questions before, which led me to ask, when were you in China? And with me, Tom, and you've heard the audio by now, because you saw it before me and you sent it to me, he's very clear. I was in Hong Kong for Tiananmen Square. There's no, he doesn't sound confused. It's not a pronoun in the wrong place. It's not a verb in the wrong place. And come on, if any of us were somewhere unique on a historic, indelible day, you would remember. I get it. We can all forget things, or we convince ourselves of something. But Tom, I'm sorry. If I'm in Hong Kong on the days of the Tiananmen Square protest, including with the individual standing in front of the Chinese tank, oh, I thought I was in Hong Kong. I was actually at Maynard's. No, you're going to remember where you were, right? It's absurd.
Well, I would liken it to people who would say, on 9/11, I was in New York City, or I was just outside New York City when that happened. It was incredible. You would remember I remember vividly where I was, and it was in Eagan, Minnesota, getting my kids on a school bus. I remember down to the minute what was happening when I first saw the planes coming in. And Tiananmen Square, to anybody who lived through that, really anywhere in the world, because it was a worldwide story, you kind of remember where you were. I was
in Orlando, Florida.
I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and anchoring the news, and we had it. You know, it was, we were reporting on that for days. It's not something you just, you know, I was there or nearby, or oh no, wait, I was there 2 months later. That's a big difference.
By the way, Donald Trump lies about every time he opens his mouth, so I'm not denying that, but you're allowed to hold both sides accountable. And I'm assuming I'm getting the text about Trump. I got it. Tom's called Trump out. I call out Trump on a regular basis. That doesn't mean just because one side does it, well, if the other side does it, it's no big deal. Especially in this case, when Harris and Walz point out, rightfully so, about Trump and occasionally bumping in the truth, well, then you shouldn't have these key points on your side either. Hang on, Tom. Let's get to multiple other stories, including the media tour that the vice president is a part of, and also a second debate already taking place in the congressional second district race. We'll talk to Tom Hauser about that in moments on CCO. Just a last point here on Tiananmen Square. Outside of the day after, and then because it came up in the interview, I have not mentioned Tiananmen Square once. And if you are running for vice president, and you say you were in Hong Kong, to me, where this all started, and it turns out you weren't, that's a little different than watching Tiananmen Square in Lakeville. I'm sorry, it just is. Especially someone who is pointing out the differences with Donald Trump and the truth. And let me say again, Donald Trump, in my opinion, is an incessant liar. And I've pointed that out all the time. So I'm supposed to stick my head in the sand. If Tim Walz says something, we're trying to, when something deserves praise, when something should be factually reported, report that, and also hold individuals to a standard.
And Chad, let me point out, too, that I've had a lot of people, you know, usually the anonymous folks on Twitter or X, going, why weren't you guys reporting about his China lies back, you know, when he was running for office? I go, his visits to China when he was in his 20s had very little to do with him governing the state of Minnesota. I mean, it just wasn't an issue. And like you said, you can't remember why it came up in the interview.
Yeah.
I'm certain it never came up while he was running for governor, because it has nothing to do with governing the state of Minnesota. It's like a lot of these other things, the IVF versus IUF. It really wasn't something that was on the radar. A lot of these issues, we did cover things about his military rank, about his DUI. Those things were covered because they had more to do with Minnesota than these other things. But now that he's running a national campaign, these things have a national relevance that had nothing to do with governing the state of Minnesota. But people just think that we're supposed to be nonstop watchdogs on everything Governor Walz has ever said or done. And it just, that's just not the way it works. If you wanted to do that with Donald Trump or any politician, that could be your only job full time, 24 hours a day.
And a Texas says Trump and Tesla lies in order to influence people. Yes. And that has been pointed out a lot. And just one last thing. I saw Senator Karen Housel the other day where she was linking to a CNN, and it was a very good report talking about a lot of what's happened with Governor Walz while governor. And part of what the senator offered up in retweet is, this is never covered by Minnesota media. Well, you and others retweeted. Part of what you said is you've covered a lot of these stories, and pointed out to Karin, just because you don't agree with what he said in response doesn't change it. And I saw Peter Callahan point out, if you read the CNN account, there's links to about seven different Minnesota outlets which covered the stories. So,
well, and that's where CNN got all their information.
Yes.
Was from stories that we did
in the state
in Minnesota.
Right.
But because CNN is doing it, it's like, oh, look at, see, finally somebody is covering this.
Right.
Like, she made the assertion, and you know, and I've known Senator Housley since long before she was in the legislature through her husband Phil, but I've known both of them for a long time. I like Senator Housley, totally disagreed with her on this because she said we weren't covering any of these auditors from the legislative audit, and I posted a couple of links to stories I've done where we've covered these, and we've had Republicans on bashing the governor for this, and Judy Randall, the lieutenant governor, and Jim Nobles before her going after his administration. We've done all of these stories. Now, do we do them day after day after day after day? No, they're a story for a day or two, and then guess what? There's more news coming over the transom.
Correct.
And then we're on to covering that. And then people will say, well, we've never asked these questions. The fact that they're not watching or reading any of the local media is not our problem.
Right.
We're putting it out there. If you're not consuming it, I mean, I don't even know what to say to these people anymore.
So tonight, 60 Minutes, they offered significant amount of time where Bill Whitaker scheduled to interview the vice president. That happened. They also offered Donald Trump the opportunity to be interviewed by Scott Pelley. What Trump said is that 60 Minutes and CBS owed him an apology going back to Hunter Biden, the laptop, and unless the apology was coming, he was not going to do it. And unless something dramatic changes in the last couple hours, he did not do it. So that is a traditional hard news interview for Kamala Harris with an excellent journalist in Bill Whitaker. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out, because the one clip they put out about Israel, it was kind of a vague word salad answer. Now, she's also made the decision to go on two podcasts, which are immensely popular. The Call Me Daddy podcast and Howard Stern, right? One more directed at females, one more directed at males. She's also going on The View, and she's going on Colbert. So let's be honest. Those are four outlets which are friendly to her, but all have a lot of clearance, including the podcast. Those podcasts are massively popular. So, yes, she's putting herself out there more. But I guess for me, I would like to see more of a sitting down with a New York Times reporter or sitting down with the Washington Post. But I also accept it's a different world. And this might be just the tip of what's coming going forward, that the traditional role of a political journalist like you or an established talk show host on a major station in town, that maybe they'll go on those, maybe they won't. And the politicians, whereas Trump, Harris, Vance, Walz, will be more inclined to go to audiences where it's more sympathetic and more of a friendly audience.
She will go largely unchallenged on The View. If she ever does MSNBC, well, she just did that recently,
about
a week ago.
Yep.
And the hardest question I think she faced was, did you really actually work at McDonald's? And it was some cute little way this anchor phrased it. But it was, you know, and Stephen Colbert, you're not going to get challenged there. Governor Walz will be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Jimmy Kimmel bashes Donald Trump nonstop. It's every monologue. It is a one-track monologue. It's how can we ridicule Donald Trump tonight? So that's not exactly unfriendly territory for Governor Walz tonight. But the thing is, they are putting both of them out there more to do questions. But other than the 60 Minutes one, where you're likely to get actual journalism, the other ones, they're going to be speaking in an echo chamber.
Yeah. Tell me about today's debate in the 2nd District and the fact we had two debates in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, two debates in 4 days. And it comes down to this, Angie Craig, you can tell it from her ads, abortion is what she is running on again and claiming that Joe Tarab is the antithesis of a woman's right to choose, and some misleading ads that make it seem like he opposes abortion even in cases of rape, incest, and to save the life of the mother, which he claims is just categorically untrue. So that came up in today's debate. And then inflation. And he claims she has voted for all these bills, that his line is threw gasoline onto the inflation fire. And so they battled about that again today, again for the second time in 4 days, in what is our only remaining, at least as far as we can tell until we get more election results, competitive congressional race in the state. But to give you an idea of even how maybe uncompetitive it is, 2 years ago, $19 million in outside spending from outside interest groups poured into that race. So far, as of Friday, only $1 million this year.
Wow, so that is dramatic.
It is a dramatic drop. Now, generally, October is when a lot of this money gets spent, but I it's not going to get anywhere near the $19 million from 2 years ago. And Angie Craig has raised a lot of money, so she's going to outspend Joe Tarab, you know, one-to-one. That's why she's got five ads on the air and he's got one. And so it's going to be interesting, though, to see and what happens if any polling comes out in that race. But it's probably somewhere around 3 to 4 point advantage to Craig right now. But a lot of it, like in all these races, is going to depend on turnout on November 5th.
One other presidential note, we have Elon at the second Butler, Pennsylvania event. Thank God nothing happened even close to what happened the first time when the former president was almost killed, although we did have another memorable photo or two with Elon jumping up and down, and that's not going to quite get to the former president when he's going fight, 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 but that might be the second photo. I mean, to have Musk as outspoken as he is, as a full-on Trump supporter, and running that powerful site is a remarkable thing that's taking place. And I know some people might say, well, guess what was going on with Facebook and other things in 16 and 20? They can try to make that point. I know some truly believe it. But when the guy who owns the clearinghouse of commentary and posting stories and algorithms is 1,000% for one candidate, that's a pretty remarkable thing.
It is remarkable, and he's one of the reasons why, you know, Democrats have a big advantage in fundraising. Kamala Harris has a big fundraising advantage over Trump. Democrats generally have a big fundraising advantage up and down the board. So when you can get an ally like Elon Musk, who's putting millions of dollars into the Trump campaign, it helps at least with the Trump base, which is considerable. And he needs them to turn out if he's going to win this election. It's going to come down to turnout. And if Elon Musk can help in that regard, that's a big factor in Trump's on Trump's side of the equation, regardless of what you think about Elon Musk.
And over the last couple of days, the betting sites have jumped dramatically for Donald Trump. And it's going to change again probably. But since Friday, all of a sudden, the sites that normally have been fairly pick 'em, at least for now, have Trump as the favorite. We'll wait and see if that changes.
If you look at the aggregation of the polls, it is a toss-up,
yep,
both nationally and in the seven major battleground states. This has all the earmarks of being a 2000 election type of election. It could be that close.
Thank you, sir. Tom will be on Channel 5 tonight giving you plenty of coverage. I appreciate it.
Okay, Chad, thanks.
We'll also be here on election night. I'll be here along with Adam, Lois Olson, and plenty others, so we'll give you excellent coverage that night here on CCO. Once again, Dave, go ahead and remind people the bumper theme today.
Well, it's the biggest news we have here at the station, the Minnesota Twins and WCCO agreeing to a multi-year contract to keep the ball club right here. We're very excited about
that. Is it like 20 years? Is it 30? I mean, it's multi-years. We're being very secretive.
Yeah, well, we can't say.
Why can't we say?
Because I have no idea.
Oh, I don't either.
But I can tell you the happiest guy in the building is the guy I'm speaking to right now, Mr. Chad Hartman.
What are you talking about?
Celebrating the days off he will get for another spring and summer for a multi-year period.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
I do.
We have another hurricane headed to Florida. About days after Helene, and we're concentrating more of the energy because of the damage in Georgia and North Carolina. But it's not to say Florida wasn't touched. Homes and homes and homes are destroyed. People were killed in that state also. And you continue to hear more legitimate journalists saying, as high as the fatality count is now with Helene, it's just going to go up and up and up. The sooner they can get to some areas where they just can't get there now.
Yeah.
Even as far past as Helene was. And so now, is it still Category 5? I know it was upgraded to Category 5. It's headed to Tampa. It's taking a more unusual path. So
still a 5, they
still
say.
Still a 5, okay. And so
stronger than 175-mile-an-hour winds.
Coming from the Gulf, so this is not Fort Lauderdale, Miami. This is Tampa, Sarasota, Clearwater. If it angles a little further south, it's Naples, it's Fort Myers. And it is scary. It is truly scary what is happening. And a lot of folks down there are limited now in what they can do for insurance, too, because it keeps happening and happening. And then the rates are so unbelievably high, or the insurance companies say, it just isn't worth it for us.
Yeah, we're out completely.
We're just done. There's a story we both saw in the Wall Street Journal where one of the stories of COVID, and we always, we often discuss the stark differences in how certain states approach COVID compared to others. And if you look, let's say, at Minnesota and how Tim Walz approached it compared to Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida.
A little different,
right? And was also a little different from Gavin Newsom. And you've also had, and again, when we're talking an economic storyline, there's so many things to discuss, but there are a lot of points Ron DeSantis was making about Florida: lack of taxes, lack of regulations, booming, people moving here compared to New York or California, and saying these are the salad days for Florida. But now, and a lot of this is tied to the weather, as the Wall Street Journal story points out, and other factors, where things have changed the last 18 months or so with Florida, with people having legitimate concerns. Like, if you were given a great job opportunity, happened for both you and Lindsay, and it was in Orlando, would the weather, let's go Tampa, Fort Myers, so you're on the water, or the city is, whether you're going to live directly, who knows.
Well, I would, clearly.
Of course you would. You'd have a mansion. Would the weather give you pause?
Yes.
Would it cause you to say no?
It'd have to be a real nice job offer.
Yeah.
I'd have to be, you have to look at the exact place you're living in and where it is and, you know, how built up it is to prevent major destruction from a hurricane, because it's coming.
And I get it. Almost every place in the nation has its challenges. Even Hawaii occasionally has challenges. California, you just were there, And if we just look, if we're just talking weather right now, you were out there for an earthquake.
Yeah.
The fires, which are happening so often. I'm not even talking the taxes and immigration and other issues. Us.
Well, and speaking of California, now rain has become a problem.
Yeah, right? Us, you know, obviously we had the mildest winter. Now we have the reporting that I think Belle Jensen needs to call us and say, we nailed it, because I told her last week it was the best stretch of weather in the history of the state. And now it's been confirmed the sunniest month in the history of Minnesota.
It's big. You were there for it.
Honestly, Brad Lane, why are you talking to anybody else to be the next meteorologist? I'm here.
Well, can you predict the future, though?
They can't. They can't either. I can read a European map. I can go with the Inga joke that Douglas used about 500,000 times.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Who am I to say? I can pull that all off. I can do that. So it would give me pause. And my father placed in Fort Lauderdale for years. I didn't get there nearly as much as he did and Kathleen when the kids were younger because I was calling games. But I've always thought Fort Lauderdale is so underrated. Now, that's on the East Coast. But if you were going to live somewhere else now, outside of, for the folks who are listening to us somewhere in Minnesota, we've already had texters from outside the state, including Tucson. So I appreciate that people listen to us, including a lot of people listening to us on a podcast. Although this new podcasting system is really ticking me off. Have we figured this thing out yet?
No, we
haven't. It's okay. I rarely use this word. It's pissing me off. So Gons and Brad, kudos on the twins. Figure out this stupid podcasting system that we switched to that changed things dramatically. Let's go back to the last one that was working. Okay, that's my side rant. So if you and you were forced to live somewhere else, you can't stay here in Lakeville or Little Falls, wherever it is, where would it be? Knowing weather, and who thought Asheville, North Carolina?
No kidding.
Would have residual effects of a hurricane. What is it, like 300 miles from the coast?
Yes. There's some residual effects, by the way.
I mean, stunning, overwhelming, crushing. Yeah, not residual. That was the wrong word. So if you had to live, they said today, same lifestyle, same job. Where is it? Where is the place? Like, you know, I went to school in Tempe. Do I want those temperatures for 4 months here? Absolutely, positively, no. I'm out. So knowing weather, other job opportunities, the economy, you're going to live somewhere outside of Minnesota if you're listening, or if you're listening somewhere else. You can't live where you're living right now. Where are you going? 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. I wish I had a great answer for this, because I want, if I have to leave here, because I'd rather just be here for 8 months and Palm Desert for 4 months. That's what I'd like.
I'll be all right.
But that's not the game we're playing. Where do you have to go and you're staying there? You know, you can have vacation stuff. I want a big city. And a lot of people don't want a big city. I totally respect that. But I know Scottsdale, Phoenix so well, but no, I don't want 110 for 4 months out. San Diego, maybe. California is just such a madhouse. If Seattle didn't rain every bleeping day, I love Seattle, but it just, I don't have seasonal affective disorder like some, but it's close. I need the sun. I thought Fort Lauderdale for a long time because it's kind of close to Miami, but it's not there, and I think it's underrated. But, God, the weather? Maybe Dallas. Dallas might be my pick.
No, it doesn't get hot there.
Okay, if I'm saying to my criteria, big city, if you give me a lot of money and I can live in Greenwich and work in New York, can I do that?
Might get too cold for you. Maybe you want to live in the Chicagoland area. I don't know.
No, that's plenty cold. If I could live in Chicago in the summer, it'd be pretty good. It
doesn't work that way. It's your game.
Yeah. So where are you going before I get to a lot of Texas? So the point is, you can't live in Minnesota. All the weather stuff, whatever it might be, where would you live?
Hudson, Wisconsin, so I can be as close to Minnesota as possible, Chad.
Get out of here.
I think I told you when we came back from the Malibu area a couple weeks ago, that's kind of become my happy place.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And if I could be there.
A lot of money.
Oh, hey, you said the lifestyle is the same.
Well, good luck to you, because you're done.
I mean, it's just so beautiful. You're outside.
It's amazing.
You're outside of the L.A. madhouse area.
Yep.
It's still busy, but nothing like that, and you can still get around. Boy, it's pretty good.
It is. And the thing about L.A., as someone who used to travel there a ton, if you can stay in your enclave, if you can stay in kind of the half of L.A. where if you're in the Malibu, you know, that side, and let's say you're not going downtown mm-hmm. a lot, you can pull it off. But if you got to drive all around it and you're in that nut house traffic constantly.
Good luck.
Good luck. Among the techs, Edina, it's always nice there. Well, maybe this is somebody who doesn't live in Minnesota. But if you live in Minnesota, Edina is out. Black Hills of South Dakota. I have absolutely possibly no interest doing that. Would that do anything for you?
No, I'm like you. I want a little city around, please.
I need city. Now, this is what closest friend said the other day when we were talking about weather. Denver. I think Denver would be strong consideration for me. But I also feel like as a non-skier, and I'm not going to start. I mean, I skied some as a kid, and I was perfectly mediocre at it. And I like where my tendons are right now. Like Carla was always trying to get me go skiing when she got into it. I'm like, nope. I like where everything is right now. I almost feel like I'm missing out on the real Denver if I don't ski.
I could get you into it. Start down
no.
the little hills.
No, I'm not going to. I see where this ACL and MCL are?
Mm-hmm.
See where that Achilles is?
I see that.
They're all in the right spot.
I know you wouldn't pick Denver because you'd be too angry every time you had to go to the airport.
Yeah, the airport's awful. And by the way, downtown Denver is a snooze fest.
Is it?
Yes.
I haven't been to Denver in many, many, many years.
Yes. Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a lot bigger than you think. I don't think it's big enough for me, though. Costa Rica, we're saying in the U.S. Northern Wisconsin, Michigan, not UP. Again, for a lot of folks, and I appreciate it, we're going to take this 58-35. I appreciate that a lot of people are chiming in that I need, and a lot of people don't need a city. Do you need a city?
I'd like a city.
You'd like a city?
I don't want to live in, you know, very rural area, no.
Somewhere in Missouri.
Anywhere? It's a big space.
It's big.
St. Louis, Kansas City, what are we talking here?
Of the two, I prefer Kansas City.
Barbecue?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of St. Louis. Now, here's one that a lot of people tout, and I have a very good friend, and she lives there, Santa Fe. Santa Fe is really cool. But again, I want a downtown. I want the culture. I want the theater. I want maybe a sports team or two. I just want the buzz about it. And maybe I'll change as I get as old as you, potentially. But Santa Fe is gorgeous. Albuquerque. Does that do anything for you?
I don't cook meth.
Okay. Walter's dead. Okay. And Jesse's on the run. And Gus is dead, too.
I don't want all the Breaking Bad tourists.
And I think Tuco's dead, too, and those evil brothers.
Yeah.
They're all gone. Saul might get out of the clink at some point, though. Augusta, Georgia. Well, if I can get one thing, I'm going there. So make that happen, Dexter. Linda's Construction Time Checks. Time for us to go. Time for you to make your home more energy efficient and get free installation labor on Infinity for Marvin Windows. Caller in for Chip next hour.